You know, the entire world right now is dealing with this illness, this pandemic, and they say that it is something that's going to go down in the history books. Well, I tell you, it needs to go down as something in the history books that our God was victorious, that our God came through, that our God is still a healer. You know, it's hard not to talk about it and think about this illness because it's all around us. We hear about it constantly. And what even makes it more difficult not to think about and focus on is that our lives have been so disrupted where we're not able to go through our normal routine. And, you know, a lot of us aren't able to work or not able to at least play the way we normally would, just not able to get together and not able to have church the way that we normally would. And so it has drawn our attention and our focus. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to focus on the Lord, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, to turn your attention away from the news cycle and to the Word of God. Oh, how we need this, church, to turn our focus, our attention to the living Word of God and let Him speak to our hearts. There's all kinds of fear and worry and stress, anxiety that goes along with all of this. And it has been so, listen, not just the illness, but all of this stress and anxiety has been so harmful to a lot of people. And we need to tell the world that we have a healer. Amen. That our God has not changed. There is a healer. His name is Jesus. His name is above every name, and that includes COVID-19. I'm telling you, His name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He is the same God today as He was in the Old Testament, when He declared in Exodus 15:26, "I am the Lord who heals you." In the New Testament, Hebrews 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." I'm telling you, He's not going to change. He's still the same Jesus. He's still the same God. He's still the same healer. Listen, when the Lord Himself tells you something about Himself, you know what? We need to take special note of that. And it is the Lord who says in Exodus 15:26, "I am the Lord who heals you." The Hebrew words there are simply Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. But you know what? You need to make it personal today. In fact, it ought to always be something personal to us. That yes, the Lord is the healer, He's our healer, but He's my healer. You need to know that you know that you know that the Lord is your healer. Make it personal. He heals us. He heals us. Listen, He heals us three ways. He heals us, many times it's through our own bodies. You know, we just kind of take that for granted, but the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know that it is absolutely amazing how our body many times can heal itself, whether it's a small cut, you know, the blood clots and it heals. Or there's some illness that comes and your body begins to produce antibodies to fight that infection. And many times our body just heals itself. And you know what? That's from God. That's His creation. That's God healing you through what He designed. Another way that God heals us is through wisdom. He gives wisdom to man. We marvel at modern medicine. Listen, it didn't just happen. It is a blessing from God. And I believe that God uses doctors and modern medicine. It is a blessing. It is a gift that God uses to heal people. But we need to know this morning that there's a third way that God heals, and that is by a miracle. It is by divine intervention. And you know what? This is the one that the world has a problem with, by the way. This is the one that the religious world has a problem with. We can talk about the other two all day, but when you start talking about a miracle, a lot of people get weird. And I'm telling you that our God is still a miracle-working God. He is still our healer, and we need to look to Him with faith and know that there is healing.
Hallelujah.
You know, the problem with preaching what the Bible says about healing is that there's times when we don't understand. We don't understand why one person was healed and maybe another wasn't, or at least things didn't happen the way that we thought that they would. And sometimes it raises difficult questions in our mind, and it just seems easier not to talk about it. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It's easier to just not preach about it. And if you are going to preach about it, it's easier to just kind of water it down and somehow kind of make it fit in a little bit with culture and the religious world. But I got to tell you this morning that in the Scripture, it's plain and clear that my God is a healer and He hadn't changed. And we need to declare the word of the Lord. We need to tell this world about a God who loves them, a God who still heals. I tell you, healing is one of the greatest, most desperate needs of mankind. It was when Jesus walked this earth, and it still is today. And it is one of the greatest promises of the Word of God. As He loves us and He cares about us, He cares when people hurt, He cares when people are sick, and He is our healer. You know, I know that all of us have gone through difficult issues in regard to healing, and I want you to know that I understand that. You see, all of us have had times when we were believing for healing for ourselves or for someone else, and maybe it didn't happen the way that we were praying. Things didn't go the way that we thought they would. And in fact, most of us have, you know, if you live very long, you've lived long enough not only to see a loved one sick, but to see a loved one pass on from this life. And so I want you to understand, I understand how you feel and how we have those difficulties, but we can't lay aside the Word of God. We can't let go of those promises that we stand on, because if we do, then we don't have anything more than what the world has. I'm telling you that our God is a healer.
Amen.
And when this pandemic has passed, it will, praise the Lord. There will be those who say that it is the resilience of man, and they will exalt man, this humanistic philosophy. There will be those that will say, oh, it is the marvel of modern medicine, the genius of man. I'm telling you, we need to put our trust in God. And we need to declare that God is our healer. And however He brings healing, we give Him the glory for that healing. And don't give it to man. Don't allow man to rise up in pride and take credit for what only God Himself can do. We cry out to God and believe Him for deliverance, for healing, for victory. And we need to be careful to give Him the glory and the praise. As I tell you, He will not share His glory with another. He deserves it. Be careful where you put your trust. Psalm 118 and 8 says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in man. No, you trust God. The word of the Lord declares the message of divine healing. Psalm 107 and verse 20, it says, He sent His word and healed them. Think about this. The word of God went forth and He healed them. We got to have the word. Now, this verse is kind of special to me because back in 2008, I started getting older, and it hit me kind of hard. I had some health issues and was tired, exhausted all the time. Sometimes I took two naps a day and was still tired. I could drink 3 cups of coffee and go lay down and go to sleep. I was having trouble concentrating. Sometimes when I was trying to prepare to preach, I would be so confused that I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't get my message together. I was confused, and somehow just trusting in the Lord, he helped me to manage to get ready and to get through. And you know, God always comes through for us. But I went to the doctor. The doctor said, I don't know. I went to a specialist, and the specialist said, well, I don't really know. Here's a pill to keep you awake. That's the best we can do for you. And I realized that I had to go to the great physician. I had to go to my healer. It was time for me to not be content with just a little bit of knowledge about healing and what the Word said, that I needed to dig into the Word of God and know that I know that I know that He's my healer. And this verse spoke to me that He sent His Word and healed them. And I'm declaring to you today that the Word of God will bring you to that place of a knowledge of a healer, of a God who says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. You know, when it comes to the Bible, a lot of times people say things, well, you know, the Bible is confusing. The Bible's just not clear. But you know what? The Bible really is clear about healing. The Bible really is clear about the promises of healing. One great example is Psalm 103 and verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, the amazing thing is that most of the religious world believes the first part, that God will forgive your sin. But they want to separate out the second part. They don't believe that God heals all your diseases. It's the same God. It's the same word. It's the same verse, the same sentence here. I'm telling you, He heals all our diseases. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm telling you, we need to build up our faith by the word of God. The news cycle will tear down your faith. You get on the internet and you look at all the statistics and this and that and all of the bad reports, and it will bring fear and anxiety and stress. But the word of God will bring peace. It will restore your faith. It'll strengthen your faith so that you can believe God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we got to get to the place where we really believe. You know, people right now talking about how you need to get your immune system strong, build up your immune system. And you know what? I think that's good. I think that's wise. I said last week, you know what? We need to be wise. You know, we need to take care of our physical body and be wise and not be foolish. But I want to tell you something that's way better than building up your immune system. It's building up your faith, building up your knowledge of the Word of God, getting it down inside of you so that it is a part of you and you really believe. Not just with a head knowledge, but with your heart, you believe what the Word of God says about healing. Sometimes when people are sick, my wife and I have been through this many times, you get a lab report, and sometimes you get a good one, and it says, all good. The lab said, all good. You know what we do? We get all excited. We say, woo-hoo. We're happy. We feel free. Victory. The lab said it's good. We don't even know those people. Some people off in a lab somewhere, and they said it's all good, and we say, all right. I want to tell you, we need to have a lot more confidence in the Word of God than we do a lab report. And if He says He heals all our diseases, if He says that He's our healer, you know what? We ought to believe that. Amen. Some people struggle with psychosomatic illness. We've got this thing right now out there, and you get a tickle on your back of your throat, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh no. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. I know you do, even if you're quiet. But when you get the lab report and it says it's okay, you say, oh, that was nothing then. I'm just telling you, we need to have that kind of confidence in the Word of God, that we can count on Him, we trust Him no matter what it looks like. We're not walking by sight. We're not walking by how we feel. We're walking by faith, trusting in God every step of the way. But you need to know the promises of healing from the Scripture so you can stand on the Word of God and keep believing it, even when you don't see it. You know, some people, the first time they hear the message of the gospel, the first time they hear that God heals, they are able to believe and receive. Many times it is simply because they haven't been taught not to. They don't know any better than just to believe the gospel and to believe that God heals. But then there are also a lot of people that have grown up in a culture of cynicism and skepticism and religion that teaches people that God doesn't do that anymore. And I'm telling you, it takes more than just to hear it one time. Sometimes it takes over and over and over again that we put the Word of God down in our heart to overcome all of that doubt and unbelief. And we get to the place where we really do believe the Word of God and what it says, that Word brings faith. Faith is the key to receiving miracles. It's the key to receiving answers to our prayers. It is the key to receiving God's power in any situation. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you believe the words of Jesus? He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Our God has all power, and he's the one that does miracles. We just do the believing. We just believe. All things are possible to him who believes. See, a lot of people, when it comes to healing, they just want to say, well, it's just all up to God. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We just don't know. It's just all up to God. But I read in my Bible that God is no respecter of persons. I read in my Bible that he responds to prayer prayed in faith. And we need to understand that healing was not just for a special one at a special time, but he's the same yesterday and forever, and his promises are just as good today as they ever were. I read in the Bible, in 1 Peter, that if the Lord tarries, we're all going to pass away, and the glory of man will fade away like a flower, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. It is an incorruptible word. It does not degrade. It doesn't break down. It doesn't change. And his promises are still true. Jesus said in John 16, 23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What fantastic promises we find in the scripture. And you know what? To not believe in healing, you just got to throw away a whole lot of scripture. But faith is the key to us receiving what God wants to do in our life. That's how we get saved. You know God wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know what? That happens when people believe. And the same is true about healing. We have to believe that he's made provision. We have to believe that the promises of the Word of God are for us. And I'm telling you, the Word of God can tear down the strongholds of unbelief so that we can believe. We, as the church, we need to spread the message of healing. We need to tell people that we have a healer. Yeah, tell them about salvation. Tell them that God loves them and he forgives them, but tell them also that he wants to heal them. Amen. Romans 10 says, how can they believe unless they hear? There's a direct correlation here between hearing and believing. How can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear if somebody doesn't tell them? We have a message that we need to get out, and that is that our God is a healer. So many people, desperate need of healing today. I know that people struggle with questions, and they say, well, if, you know, God is a healer, then why is there all of this sickness? Why does God allow this? You need to understand that God is not the one that brought sickness and disease into the world. That sickness and disease came into the world through the fall of man. And we still live in a fallen world. We still live in a world where there's sin and sickness. And we need to understand that sometimes sickness happens just because we live in a fallen world. Sometimes we get sick because of our own sin. We do something foolish and we harm our bodies in some way. We bring it upon ourselves. And a lot of the time, we need to understand this, that it is Satan's work that makes people sick. It is amazing how people will blame God for something that man did or that Satan did. Sometimes it is just an attack of Satan. It is a spirit of infirmity. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17 tells us about that kind of situation. It says, he was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Now first, the scripture tells us that it was a spirit of infirmity. And then Jesus clarifies, he tells us that spirit of infirmity came from Satan. And we need to realize that many times it is Satan who is afflicting people. It is Satan that's behind disease. But it is not Jesus. No, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus bore wounds in his body that we might be healed. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, the same God in the Old Testament who said, I'm the Lord who heals you. He's in the Lord Jesus, going about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And everywhere Jesus went, he was healing people. He was showing people that our Father wants to heal people, that he loves people, that he cares about people. Matthew 4:24, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. He healed them. Matthew 12:15, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went out, and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Listen, I'm just giving you a few verses from Matthew, and over and over and over, it tells us that he healed them. And here in Matthew 14, why did he do it? He wasn't trying to gain notoriety. He wasn't trying to make himself look good. He wasn't trying to prove that he was the Christ. He was moved with compassion for the people. He cared for the people. I'm telling you, our God loves us. He is moved with compassion for hurting people. And we need to hear and know and spread the message. He's a healer. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31, great multitudes came to him, having with them lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 19:2, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21:14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Jesus healed all the time, and he still does. Did you know Jesus walked this earth and healed all the time? There were lots of people that didn't believe. It's amazing, but in our generation, in our time, there are going to be lots of people that don't believe. You don't have to be one of them. No. We need to believe the reports of healing. We need to believe that God is still the same God and still keeps his word. Mark chapter 6, Jesus says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. And in Nazareth, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and he healed them. You see, where there was lots of unbelief, Jesus could do no mighty work. But there were still a few sick people that got healed. And you might be surrounded by unbelief, but you need to decide, you know what? I'm still going to be one of those who claims my healer, that he is my healer. I'm going to be one of those that still gets healed. Even in the midst of a world of unbelief, I'm going to believe as he heals. Oh, how we need to build up our faith with the Word of God. Mark chapter 5 tells us that Jesus was asked by a man named Jairus to go and to heal his daughter who's very sick. And so Jesus is on his way to heal this man's daughter. And verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, it tells us that their trip was interrupted as a certain woman who had a flow of blood 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she spent all that she had and was no better but grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, now listen, you see, she heard something. We got to spread the word. People need to hear about this Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, see, something happened on the inside of her when she heard. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, I want you to understand something here. Jesus didn't pick this woman out of the crowd. He didn't say, hey, lady, I see you back there. Come up here. He didn't say, hey, this is your lucky day. The rest of y'all get out of the way. No, it was this woman who, when she heard, she said to herself, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just get to him, if I can just touch that garment, I know that I will be healed. And here's what happened. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself power had gone out of him. It's an amazing story. Jesus knew that power had gone out. He turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples say, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hear this now. He said, your faith has made you well. For 12 long years, she was sick. For 12 years, she would have been considered a social outcast because of this health issue. She would have been considered unclean to have an issue of blood. For 12 long years, she suffered. Sometimes doctors make you better, sometimes they don't. In this situation, the Bible says she spent all she had, but only grew worse. And somehow, after 12 years, when she hears about Jesus, 12 years, think about this. See, some of you might have dealt with an issue for more than 12 years, but listen, for 12 years of discouragement, 12 years of bad reports, 12 years of getting worse, when she heard about Jesus, she believed. And because she believed, when she touched the hem of his garment, power went out from him and she was healed. And Jesus says, your faith made you well. And then men from Jairus' house came and brought the worst news that a parent can hear. They said, your little girl is dead. And Jesus looks at Jairus and he says this. It's, if you want the verse, it's Mark 5:36. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. What a word for the church today. What a word for the world today. Amen. Don't be afraid. The words of Jesus, don't be afraid, only believe. A Roman soldier comes to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. Is there somebody sick that you're praying for? This man comes to Jesus and he says, my servant is sick. Jesus says, I will go and heal him. Jesus is ready to go. He says, I will go and heal him. And the centurion says, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 13, it tells us that Jesus said to the centurion, go and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed from that very hour. Go and it will be done just as you believed. In the next chapter, Matthew 9, verse 27 through 29, and Jesus went on from there, and two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And I want to tell you, that's the right attitude to have when you call out to Jesus for healing. You're not going to him for justice. You're not going to him because you deserved it or you've earned it in some way. You're going to him on the basis of his compassion, his mercy. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked him, And he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." I realize that a lot of people get mad at preachers today for saying such things. It was Jesus that said it, and he didn't say something like this once or even twice, but many, many, many times. And he says, according to your, what if it really is according to your faith? What if God is waiting for us to really believe? According to your faith, be it unto you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He walked this earth full of grace and truth. And it wasn't the most religious that received, or even necessarily the most godly. It was people who were broken and desperate and from all backgrounds and walks of life. But they had this in common: they believed. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about any of these people's theology and their doctrine, and did they have all their ducks in a row, but what it tells us about them is that they believed. And I'm telling you, we need to believe. Mark 11:24, Jesus says, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." We got to believe. And you know what? For us to believe, we need to know it's the will of God. It's hard to believe for something when you don't know if it's really God's will. If you don't know, God wants to do it. But if you know that it's God's will, well, this is what the Bible says in 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of Him. We got to know that we're asking according to the will of God. How do we know that? Because the Word of God declares to us the will of God over and over and over. And He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." Matthew 8, 1 through 3. Giving you a lot of scripture because opinions abound when it comes to healing. But the Word of God is what matters. And I want you to see, this isn't a passage or isolated thing, but it is all through the Word of God. It is all through the ministry of Jesus. When He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped Him, saying, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." And Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed," and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I am willing. You need to know that He is willing. Amen. I will. Hear the words of Jesus this morning. I will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is part of the atonement. It is part of what Jesus paid for when He went through so much. His body broken for us so that we could be healed. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, it's a quote from Isaiah 53. It says, "He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." Listen, here it is. "By whose stripes you were healed, by the wounds left on His body, we were healed." I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, healing was made a part of the covenant. We have a better covenant, not a lesser covenant. And we need to know that it is all through the ministry of Jesus that He heals people. We know that it's God's will because it's part of the good news of the kingdom. It's part of the message of the gospel. You see, everywhere Jesus went preaching, He healed people. And when he sent out the disciples, he told them, here it is in Luke 9, 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Preach the kingdom and heal the sick. We need to remember this part, church. Preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Preach the reign, the rule of God come down to earth and heal the sick. Luke 10, 9. And heal the sick there, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When you heal the sick, this is what you tell them. The kingdom of God, the reign of God. How did Jesus tell us to pray when he gives us a pattern for prayer? He said, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. In the perfect will of God, I'm telling you, there's no sickness. In this world, we see all kinds of things that are part of the fall. But we're praying in the kingdom. Amen. We're praying in the will of God to be done. And so when we declare the gospel, this is part of our message, is that God heals. And we need to realize that when the kingdom comes, healing comes. Jesus says about John the Baptist, it's a strange thing, and don't really have time to get into all this morning, but he says, there's no one greater than John the Baptist among those born of women, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater. We need to understand that when the kingdom comes, there's healing power. Everywhere that Jesus went, he declared the kingdom. He declared the good news of the kingdom, and people were healed. And then he tells the disciples to do the same thing. He never intended for people to just preach salvation only, because he paid a price for our healing also. Sickness and disease in the scripture is always considered a curse, and somehow some people get so deceived that they decide it must be a blessing. And I want you to hear me. The Father does not want you to be sick so he can do a deeper work in your life. Yes, God can teach you something when you're sick. Yes, God can bring you to a deeper place in him. But I want you to understand that your Father doesn't want you to be sick so you can learn something. Our Father wants us to be healed. He wants us to be whole. There's no recorded case of Jesus ever turning anybody away that came to him for healing. It is part of our redemption. The natural mind of religious people just try to reason away what God does to fit. See, in order to get their faith to fit with their experience. Listen, we don't need our faith to fit our experience. We need our faith to line up with the Word of God. And then we can start getting our experience to line up with the Word. But we gotta believe. It takes faith to walk by the Word. It doesn't take any faith to walk by sight, just living by what you see and what you've always seen. Some people say, oh, but that healing, you know, that was just the apostles. So Jesus and then the apostles. Listen, it was all through the Old Testament. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. But let's just get past this. Did you know, remember now, Paul was not one of the 12. And I can assure you that Paul, the apostle, who came later, God used him to heal people. But it wasn't even just those who were called apostles, because Philip goes down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Many were healed. This guy, Philip, he's not an apostle. for the first 300 years of the church, historians record miracles, miracles, and miracles of healing. Then, with the coming of what we call the Dark Ages, there was a time when the gospel was not preached much, and there were not many miracles recorded anymore. But then during the Reformation, Martin Luther saw many, many, many miracles of healing again. And in the preaching of John Wesley, he records over 240 miracles of healing that took place in his ministry alone. I'm telling you, whenever the gospel is preached, the whole gospel, people are healed. And it's the same in our day. Right now, in this church, there are many, many people that have been healed. People that have been healed of breast cancer. People that have been healed of blood cancers. All kinds of cancers. People that have been healed from all kinds of heart conditions. Carpal tunnel syndrome. All kinds of healings. I'm telling you, our God is still healing. Don't reason it away. Don't think, but what about this? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. You need to know he's my healer. I have absolute confidence in him. I can trust him. I know that he still heals. And it is part of the ministry of the church. In the Gospel of Mark, it is included in the Great Commission that believers lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He tells us to pray for the sick, church. Listen, believers, that's all of us. All of us that are believers, that's for all of us. But James chapter 5, he says, if anybody's sick, verse 14 and 15, if anybody's sick, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Call. Now listen, God does it many different ways. Sometimes it's when somebody lays hands on you. Sometimes it's when you go forward and you pray with a prayer partner. Sometimes it's when you went to hear a certain preacher. Listen, it's not because you got to hear a certain preacher, but it's because whatever it takes to get you to the place where you will really believe. Sometimes it's the elders of the church. I'm just telling you. It hasn't stopped. It is part of the ministry of the church. We are the body of Jesus, still carrying on the ministry of Jesus in the world today. Sometimes healings are instantaneous. Sometimes they take a few days, a few weeks. Sometimes they take a few years. Sometimes they take many years. And sometimes we don't see the fulfillment of complete healing in this life. But we believe. We still believe. We still believe every word of God. Because what we see, what we experience, what we feel doesn't change His word. And we're living by faith. It's not a fantasy faith. It's not just positive thinking. It is based on the word of the living God who said, I'm the Lord who heals you. If you need healing this morning, I want to ask you to just stand right where you are. If you need healing, just stand right where you are if you need healing. Now, if there's somebody that's standing and you happen to be in the room with them, I want you to lay your hand on them. Believers lay hands on the sick. And they recover. Just go ahead and do that. If there's somebody standing, I want you to lay your hand on them. Just believe. And if there's nobody with you, I declare to you that Jesus is your healer. And the Holy Spirit is there in the room with you. Put his hand on your shoulder. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you love us so much that you've made provision. Help us, Father. Forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for the times that we've doubted. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've allowed our minds and our soul and our heart to be overwhelmed with the doubts and fears of the world. Father, I pray that the word of the Lord will rise up in us in a bold way, Lord, to declare to the world that you are a healer. And Father, right now we pray for our brothers and sisters who are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are suffering. Lord, that we see, and Lord, those that we're laying hands on, but Lord, around the world, Father, we pray for a mighty deliverance. We pray, Father, for a great healing move of God. Oh, Father, just like the world hasn't seen this in our generation, Lord, of illness, Lord, that they'll see healing that they haven't seen in this generation before. Mighty God, we trust you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will heal your servants. Oh, Father, the many that are suffering right now, I pray, Father, you'll raise them up. Lord, we give you the honor and the glory. Lord, you alone are worthy. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for it, our healer. We thank you for it, Lord, because we believe. We believe, we receive, and we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.